This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and R.E. Trump, my group texts right now have the exact opposite vibe of when we all found out Prince died.
I'm Brandi Posey, and I hope Mitch McConnell doesn't get COVID. Ebola would be nice, though.
I'm Tess Barker, and right now, this country is basically a Calvin pissing on itself.
Oh, and this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
Show for everyone, that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Ladies and ladies, ladies and ladies.
Welcome to the show, everybody. God damn it, that just made me think Trump looks like a Calvin, like a grown-up Calvin.
He's got strong Calvin vibes.
I never thought about it.
Especially.
Wow. Yeah. Damn.
But I can't imagine him like ever even petting an animal or having a stuffed toy of some kind.
No, like, certainly not. He might have had like a stuffed binder.
Yes. Yeah. Like a fluffy. He had his own special trapper keeper that had like fur on the front of it. And it would say, I'm proud of you when he squeezed it. But that broke really early after he got it. And then he never heard it again. And that's why we're in the problem we're in.
And hey. Now here we are.
Hey. Let's bring on our guest. She's super funny. I found her on Twitter and I love her. She's an actress and writer, comedian. You've seen her on NBC, on Indebted, on a Black Lady sketch show on HBO, and Shrill on Hulu. Nicole Thurman, welcome to the
Hello.
Show.
Hi, Hello. Thanks for having me. Yeah. Hello, everyone.
Thank
Hello.
You for joining us in the cube, in yeah. the quad yeah. here, where we all live our lives.
Yes, that's we all exist in this computer now. That's what happens. That's our life.
I feel like if there was like a updated Goosebumps for adults now, there would be an episode about that, right? Where someone gets sucked into the Zoom during their office meeting. And
oh,
like,
yeah.
That's where they...
Oh, yeah.
Or Black
oh,
for Mirror. Sure. I can see Black Mirror doing that.
That probably... Or like... I guess that's updated Goosebumps for adults that's is Black true. Mirror. I just couldn't...
Black Mirror.
Yeah, I was gonna say Black Mirror. And like, or if somebody like got attacked all of a sudden and you guys all saw it happen, but nobody could help because you're all on the Zoom.
Oh, that's a good horror
that's
movie idea.
Stuff. Exactly,
yeah.
A horror movie.
Yeah.
We can pitch a movie.
Exactly. I feel like there's been something like that that Miles, what's his fuck was in? Comedian.
Teller? Oh, comedian.
Miles.
God, what the hell? It doesn't matter.
Well, he does great work. Congratulations.
He's obviously very memorable.
Yeah, super memorable.
We love him.
Mr.
Big fans of that guy.
Yeah.
Great dude. Great guy.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, we're all kind of just talking about the, we know we live in a 24-hour news cycle, but this is like a two-minute news cycle at this
point.
Truly.
And I was doing so good, you guys. Like, I was really staying off Twitter previous to this. I hadn't watched cable news in, like, at least 6 or 7 months. And as soon as this happened, I just, like, jumped right back in. I was like, yep.
Yeah. Once you get back a little taste of it. Plus, it's like, somebody tweeted something like, the news isn't supposed to change every time you refresh your page. And it's like, that's what it feels like right now, where it's just like every time we refresh the page, something new has happened. And it's so stressful.
And how are we going to walk back from this? Like, we need methadone for like this stimulation overload. Like, how are we going to go back to a world where the news just starts every morning?
I have no idea.
It's a good question.
Hopefully we will, though.
I don't think we will, because... Yeah, we'll get the chips in our brains, and then you can just have it in there while you sleep. So
Just a constant cycle. Because the thing I've been missing is the worst part about it is getting on the computer and opening the browser. I would like it if it just was in there all the time, constantly.
I will say, I was so addicted this weekend that that truly happened to me. Like Saturday morning, I woke up annoyed that I had had to spend some time sleeping and not watching the news.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I'm not quite
I've been
there.
Getting more and more addicted to my phone just in general for some reason over this quarantine period. I think it's just because that's where all the friends are in the phone. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right. Totally.
And so I have been finding myself super addicted to it. And yeah, when things go crazy, like this news cycle, you're just really like... And somebody tweeted in my feed, somebody tweeted that bitch died. And I was like, come on. Because I believed it. And I
yeah,
was
it's like, don't.
What? And it's like, no, don't do that unless like there's really happening.
Don't jinx it.
I'm not, personally, I'm not like talking like that. I'm just like, whatever. But at the same time, I was like, that I thought that was the thing.
Yeah. Well, you don't need any hoaxes right now.
No, we don't.
There was a hoax that Dr. Luke died yesterday. And I was like, no fucking way. And I just, I was too busy to really research it. And then I texted some, I spread the fake news without researching it. And apparently it was a hoax.
Okay. Wait, yeah. Dr. Luke is that horrible guy from Kesha that was like, yeah, all right for Kesha?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I should just say that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. He's awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The music industry is so messed up. I mean, there's a whole thing, but the music industry is so wild to me. And it's just crazy that they really haven't had any comeuppance because it is, it's nasty. It's always been nasty.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. It seems like one of the people are still holding out, you know, from really like coming forward with the truth in music because they, it's just accepted for like musicians. It's like, oh, they're just assholes.
Yeah, there's something weird about it. There's always been something weird about it, though, too, how they don't have any real union that I know of. So I feel like it's a little bit of the Wild West still. They don't have as much protection as they should, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what was wild about, like, I mean, Kanye is Kanye, but him, like, tweeting out his contracts and stuff, I was kind of like, yeah.
I know, right? Yes! It's like, okay, I will get on board with this. Maybe not pissing on the Grammy. That was maybe a little bit far for me, but, like, we're still proud of you for doing those things.
Yeah, the thing I'd be we'll down if everyone posted their contracts. I mean, I'm interested in that.
Absolutely.
Go a long way.
Yeah.
We did a live show on Zoom last night. Thanks for everybody who came out. Have you been doing any shows or anything like on Zoom or Instagram or anything, Nicole?
You know, not really. I got asked to do a Zoom improv show only once, actually, through this whole period. And I said yes. And then, like, the day of, I was like, you know what? How about no, actually, because I don't want to. Because they sent an email of, like, all the ways to do it. Like, when you're not playing, you know, hide your camera. And I was like, this is depressing me. No, I can't do it. And I'm not a stand-up, so I don't do, you know, actually stand-up would maybe be a little bit different because it's more presentational. Mm-hmm. You're by yourself. You're not, like, tagging in. And there's no rhythm with people. There's only you providing the comedy.
Yeah, how the fuck do you do improv over Zoom? I can't.
That is just not, it's just not for me. So I haven't done any shows. The only thing I've been doing is, like, if anything, like, game shows, playing, like, what's that thing called? Jackbox games with people for charity?
That's fun.
That's been really fun. Yeah, that's been cool.
What's that?
So it's like what is it called? Hold the Phone comedy, like Chase Mitchell and a bunch of Sean O'Connor. I shouldn't say random. And Sean O'Connor, I think, are the ones that are like the heads of it. And they play for charities every week. And so you just like, you know, answer questions, try to be the funniest person in the group, and then like making jokes up. And then whoever wins, wins. We don't win anything, but then, like, the whole time they're doing it, they donate money to charity. So it's cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fun device to, like, do stuff and, you know, make some money, but actually have, like, a thing that you're not just like, okay, we're here.
Yeah, absolutely. And how you guys did a stand-up show? Is that what you guys did?
We did, like, a kind of a variety show because we've done live shows and stuff forever. So we, you know, we're all stand-up. So we had that. And then we had, do you know French Stewart? He's kind of like our mascot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's like our at this point, I call him our mascot. I don't know what he is, but
he's something.
He's definitely something. He's our buddy. He came and did stand up for us.
I didn't know he did stand up. I mean, I guess that makes sense.
He doesn't really. It was like one of his first time. He doesn't do it that much.
Really?
So
I feel like he would have a good stand up vibe, personality, or something like that.
It was great. He like acted. He was very theatrical, and he like acted out a phone call with his parents. Basically, it was super funny. But it was just so funny having him on the show because he like I used to have a huge crush on him when I was younger. That's why he's like, it's a funny situation
or
whatever.
That's amazing. Yeah.
And he like didn't. I don't know if he. What is your guys' opinion if he knew he was the only person with their camera on? Like, did he know he was the only?
Oh, Barbara had a real private dancer moment with French Stewart. Except it was with her jokes. It was kind of beautiful.
Who did?
Barbara.
I was doing my set.
Oh, that's so funny.
I was doing my set and he was the only, you know, everyone had their cameras off so you could just see the person who was talking. And he was the only person, he just came on in the middle of my set and started watching me. And
it was just God.
It was just him up here watching me do stand up. And I was like, this is just too.
It was definitely not intentional. So he for sure was like, oh, my camera's supposed to be on. Hold on. And then he turned it on. He just,
was a great French Stewart impression.
Thank you. You didn't think it was intentional? I thought it was fully intentional.
Oh, I honestly don't know.
I don't know if he knows the technology that well. He's in like the age where it starts getting cuspy with the Zoom. So I feel like he just was like, the email said to have the camera on and he didn't realize.
Oh, right, because he was performing.
That's my theory. Yeah.
Yeah. It was just a very funny situation where all of a sudden I was like, all right, I'm just doing stand up for you.
And but he was so supportive.
He was the best. He was great. Yeah. He's a very sweet man. And then he hung out for the whole show, so it was a good time.
It was great.
That's so fun.
It was great.
Nicole, do you like what crush from your childhood would you love to like be working with on something now?
God, you know the first ones that come to my mind are musicians.
Yeah.
So I don't even know if I could think of an actor, but literally the first person that came to my mind, which seems kind of lame now, is Gavin Rossdale from Bush.
Oh no, he was super hot.
He was very hot.
I loved him so much. Yeah. He was like the ideal type of man. And then he was all like, I also liked their music. And like, you remember when he was like standing in the rain at Woodstock or whatever the hell that was, and he was like playing Glycerin and he was just like, so I don't know. I would just like play one song with him or whatever and like be like, what's Gwyneth like? Gwen? No, Gwen, not Gwen.
Gwen.
What's Gwen like? Is Gwen cool? Like, I know y'all broke up, but like, was she cool?
Well, I loved about that is like when they got together, it was like, yeah, that's like an equal couple. And then she's such a boss that it was like, you can stop working, Gavin. We're done.
Yeah. Truly. That was such a crazy situation.
Also,
it's so crazy to think that she's with Blake now, Shelton.
It's so weird.
I feel like it makes so much sense. I think it Blake Shelton is for sure your after grunge husband choice.
The one that you like really settle down with.
Yeah.
That, like, once you've made the bad decisions of like dating all the bartenders, like I did, you know, then all of a sudden you're like, you know what? Let me try a boring person for a little bit.
Let me try a boring countryman.
And he's tall, so tall makes anybody tall. Hot, really.
Absolutely. You know. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's too bad. Yeah. I feel like high heels are wasted on women. We should have like made it the thing that men could wear high heels and then they would have that leverage.
My ex-boyfriend, actually, I talk bad about him all the time because I don't like him very much.
That's what they're for.
So I'm like, at first I was like, oh, should I say this? And I was like, I don't care. He used to wear these shoes that had like a little bit of a heel on them, but then he also had insoles inside. And I didn't realize it because one day we were like standing face to face in the kitchen and I was like, you feel very short right now. Like it was a very noticeable difference because he almost always wore the tall shoes.
Was he defensive about it or did he care?
I don't think he was that defensive because he lied about a lot of things. So that was like the minimal lie. I was wearing the tall shoes. Now I'm not wearing the tall shoes. But yeah, it was just like a weird thing where I was like, but I mean, I wasn't even mad at it though, because it's like, it's true. They should wear height, you know, shoes if they want to.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, not every height is beautiful, yada, yada. But I mean,
that's what we say. No, I think it is. I'm a tall person. I'm 5'9". So like I admire height. I have to be more open to all heights, but I admire height in a man.
I know that that's a tough thing for short guys. You know, that's one of the things they complain about. And I think it's hard on like dating apps if like a lady's like, that's the first thing that they...
Yeah,
want
don't
to
do
know.
That. You're really cutting off a lot of quality people. It shouldn't be the first thing you're...
Truly, because my friend, I remember she's about 5'8 or something like that. And I think her husband's like 5'6". And ever since she met him, she's like, dude, don't discount the shorter guys. Like, look for the shorter guys. They're like good people. They're just not getting a chance because they're short.
Very fine.
I mean, it's true. It's really not fair that people just are like fully dismissing a man because he's short. I'm trying not to do that.
No, I mean, we all have like ladders. We all have step stools. we're fine. We don't need to talk.
Well, you know, I mean, go on a couple of dates and then, you know, just take 1 second, step back and give him a flat tire and see if he loses a couple of inches. And, you know, that'll just tell you something.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can make your choice from there, but you just want all the facts out of the gate.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
No, I feel for them though, because yeah, people are, I mean, women especially can be very mean to short men, and it's like, this is the one thing they have no control over that.
Literally no control over it.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same thing of like, I'm not like a skinny, tiny woman, and that I have like my insecurities about that. And if a man was like, oh, I don't date tall women with curves, I would be like, that's so messed up. But then it's like, so then how can I go and talk to a man and be like, I'm sorry, you're 5'7", you need not apply for my relationship, for my body. Please get away from me. Thank you. That's not fair.
I will say one of my least favorite things on Tinder was so many guys made this joke where they'd be like, I'm 5'9" in heels. And you're like, wait, what? Heels. What does this mean? Does it mean you're 5'9"? You're not 5'9"? What is this?
Yeah, what are you thinking of as a heel? Is this like a stripper heel? Is this like a small pump? Is this like a kitty cat heel?
Oh, what's it called? Kitty cat.
Like what kind of heel is in your mind?
Oh yeah, a kitty cat heel.
A kitty heel.
We're thinking character shoes.
Yeah.
No, those are so unflattering.
I've been thinking of getting character shoes, actually, because I remember like doing plays growing up. I could wear those things all day, every day. I could dance in them. I could tap dance in them. I could do whatever. And any other kind of high heel, I have like a hour expiration period. I mean, it's got to be like.
But those are kitten heels, basically, aren't they?
They're a little bit bigger.
They're a little bigger.
A little higher. Right? A
couple inches. And they're like, they're a sturdy heel. That's why they're good. Right.
Because
they're like, they're thicker. They're a little thicker. They're like more, they have, I don't know, some kind of reinforcements, I think.
And they move with your foot. I mean, you can truly like dance and do whatever the fuck you want. I mean, I used to do like can dancing in them and shit, like no problem. I couldn't do that in a fair, I don't know.
Let's bring them back. Let's make character shoes like the new Crocs.
Okay.
Let's
Crocs are blowing up during this quarantine period.
Crocs are big right now. Yeah.
People are really going for it.
Yeah.
I don't have any Crocs.
I know. I don't either. I don't know how I haven't gotten into that yet, but I feel like I'm slowly making my way.
I mean, Lord knows I'm not too good for them, but my question with Crocs is I feel like you want to wear them when it's hot. And like, do you really want to wear rubber shoes when it's hot?
They don't feel like they're rubbery though. They're kind of more like foamy. So it doesn't like feel. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I had some I used to wait tables in, and they were kind of, they would make my feet sweat a little bit.
Okay, that's an honest review.
Yeah, they did make my feet sweat just a little bit.
Because I'm remembering, we're all the same age. Remember like the jellies period?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Those shit got nasty, man. Jellies. Those were gross.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really did. They tear your feet up, too.
I liked the era, but, like, our use of plastic, like, plastic furniture, plastic shoes were not, they were aesthetically nice, but just not very
aesthetically
practical.
Aesthetically nice.
No. Plastic shoes. Aesthetically nice.
Barbara's dorm room was full of inflatable furniture.
Fuck yeah, baby.
That was
That's how you, my roommate would know if I got laid, because I would just be deflated the next day.
Oh, yeah. That's how you do it. Yeah. And if the place ever floods, you can just float away on your couch or something. Good.
Absolutely. Just a whimsical 90s prepper.
We used to have this thing in our dorms called Flippin' Fucks. Did you guys have Flippin' Fucks?
What the?
No.
What is that? Explain more.
Is it a hammock? It sounds like a hammock.
What?
A flippin' fuck. A flippin' fuck was like, it was like if a futon was much shittier. It was like a cushion that kind of folded and was like during the day like a chair that you could play video games in. And then at night you could unflip it into like essentially like a
it was like a one person.
Like a twin bed kind of
futon.
Yeah.
It does it when you unfold it, is it on the floor?
Yeah.
Like, is it just a pad?
Yeah.
I think I know what you're talking about. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Did you say flip and fuck? Like F-U-C-K?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, that's never heard
I've
that
never
before
heard
in my
that
life.
In my life, never. No.
I just
I'm like really.
Think
like, can we go back to that again?
Yeah, like you're making out on the video game chair, and he's like, hold on. Just like,
hold on.
Yeah.
You know what time it is. Flip it and fuck.
Oh,
it's flipping fuck time, baby.
That's good marketing, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a good, but wait, there's more type of thing.
I don't know if that was from the makers of the flipping fuck or from the residents of the Emerson College dorms, but we were flipping and fucking.
Wow. I love that.
I feel like the residents of the Emerson College dorms have done a lot of pitching on Shark Tank.
Whoa.
So
don't Google flipping fuck.
Randy, what did you think was going to come up?
No, well, it's funny because of the top 8 results. 2 of them are the chair that you are describing, but the other 2 are just the disembodied torsos of 2 people put together.
Oh.
So you could flip and fuck either one.
Oh, you're talking about real dolls. Like half real dolls?
But yeah, but just the
torso.
But with feet and knees. Like from it's very
the bottom half.
Yeah, sure. But the couch is on there twice, so that was Jesus.
I was watching.
You gotta be careful when you're googling.
Always. I was like, I wonder if it comes up as like an official nickname for that thing. Oh God.
I was watching Pen 15, and they do a play. It's a very relatable if you're a theater kid. They do a play and all this stuff, and there's a showmance, between the 2 lead actors. And I was like, oh, they're gonna have a showmance. And my boyfriend had never heard of that. He didn't know what a showmance was. And I was like, yeah, that's why so many actors fuck each other.
Yeah. He didn't do that kind of stuff.
No, he didn't
younger.
Do theater. But I was like, I was thinking of it because of Gwen Stefani and Blake Shelton. Like, I was just thinking about them flirting backstage at The Voice and like how I'm trying to like imagine how it came to be.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if the show gets canceled, they'll break up. Or when the show ends, he'll break up.
It's never going
to end. Are they married?
They're married.
They're married?
They are?
Yeah.
I have not been following
that
saga.
Okay, I'm pretty sure. Don't quote me on this, but I'm going to Google this right now. I'm pretty sure.
You can Google that one. You can Google that and get safe results.
Yeah, you handle that one, Tess. I'm not Googling
anything
else today.
Speaking of, one of our listeners, Jared, told us that they are commonly law. Well, how do you say it? Common law marriage.
Common law.
After a year, if you live together in Canada. 1 year.
Oh, in Canada?
That's
1 year? That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. I was like, I would have been married to so many of my roommates. Like, what the fuck?
That's so funny.
You have to be in a relationship? Yeah.
Wow.
You guys got married during quarantine.
Whoa. Oh,
yeah, they did like a low-key, like intimate wedding. Yeah.
Well, that's he whipped out a fucking guitar during the vows.
Oh, there's a guitar. Oh, yes. Yeah, there's a guitar.
Oh my God, now I want to look. I love this. That's hilarious.
Of course.
All right, we're going to go look up Blake Shelton's vows like we usually do on every break. We'll be right back in a second.
Hey, welcome back to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
And we're here with Nicole Thurman.
Hi.
Nicole, your name's spelled like a little differently than I see most Nicoles. Is there a story behind that or is it?
Yeah, it's pretty basic. My mom, it's 2 C's. Yeah. And my mom literally just like wanted to spell Nikki, N-I-C-C-I. And so she was like, I think maybe I'll spell Nicole, N-I-C-C-O-L-E. Aww. And now it's funny because it's like maybe 4 people call me Nikki and that's it. Yeah. But yeah, I mean. I like my name being spelled differently, though, for the most part.
It's cool. It's a cool aesthetic. Yeah. Like, I'm so into aesthetics, as you guys know, of shoes, of names.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Classic furniture. Yes, definitely.
I like that she planned it, though, for nicknames. Because I feel like that's a good call for parents to do. They're like, you need a backup plan for the various names they could have. Yeah,
have to think about that. You really do. I mean, I really wanted a nickname because I never felt like a Teresa. So it was like a huge... Until I got named Tess by my best friend in 5th grade. She was calling me a joke. It was Tessa Roxy Bertha Gertrude Mildred Esther Fardad Raoul, and then she shortened that to Tess.
Oh my God!
Can we get that one more time, please?
Tessa Roxy Bertha Gertrude Esther Fardad Raoul. I can't believe I remember
perfect.
That. But that's how I got named Tess. It's from her. But up until that, I was on this like hunt to have a different name. So I was really trying to get people to start calling me 7 because Blossom was on at the time.
Okay, 6. Because wasn't her best friend 6?
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's amazing. And you know what's funny about that? Erykah Badu and Andre 3000's son is named 7.
I wonder if that's where they got it.
Whoa.
Maybe? They were like, we love Blossom, y'all. We going to name our kids something different. She's going to be named after 6, but it's going to be 7. And it's a boy. But yeah, I love that.
I think that's a Seinfeld. They come. That's a name in Seinfeld, too, for a kid.
7?
Yeah.
Or that's so funny.
Soda
Maybe
and 7.
Common. Soda and 7. I was like, 7 and soda? Mm-hmm. No, wait. 7 is a soda.
7 and 7?
7
yeah,
up.
7 and 7.
Fuck. Well, oh, my God. I forgot I was going to say. Wait, what were we talking about before that? Well, it doesn't matter.
What names?
Anybody? Yeah, let's just ask questions.
Also, Barbara just had a full breakdown.
I had a full. It doesn't matter.
I'm so tired. I'm like out of it too. So I'm like, okay, I don't know what we're talking about.
It doesn't matter. Sure. I'm so tired and so awake today. It's just one of those days where I'm like, I want to sleep, but I can't because I need to know what's going on.
Yes.
Yes. It's that internet curse, I feel like.
Yeah.
It does. Yeah. I've been going to the beach a lot. I think in the last week I've been to the beach 3 times. I went to the beach today.
Good. Yeah. Oh, wow.
I just when I feel anxious, I just get on the road and go to the beach. Like it's the best.
I have a car that I actually don't like, but it's a convertible. And so when I do get anxious and drive to the beach, it's like the best thing in the world. You just drive down the PCH with the top down. It's like,
it's so crazy. It's I'm sure in a convertible, all of a sudden your life's just so different. You're like, wait, what the fuck? I could have been doing this. Like,
right. Yeah. Every time I do it too. It's so true. Cause I don't put the top down ever, except for like when I'm going to go to the beach. Cause I just want to take a drive and it's the best thing in the world.
That's awesome. True. When you have a convertible, you rarely put the top down. So mostly you just have a car with a fabric ceiling.
Exactly. I like to listen to music really loud, and I don't want people listening to my music, so like I don't want to have my top.
I was gonna say, do you have people like interacting with you more with a convertible? Yeah. Is it when it's down?
Yeah. When it's down, people be like, it's like I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah.
Or it's like
a window, something's open. Yeah.
You're very exposed. And if somebody has a convertible next to you, they want to be like, what's up? And I'm like, I don't do that. Like, let's not do this.
No. That's not what this convertible is about.
I drove a Mazda Miata my senior year of high school, which was also when I was getting into being a raver. So I would just always be driving around with this like pacifier hanging from the rearview mirror of my Miata.
Oh my God.
Do you remember that techno song that was like, wow, do you think you're better off alone? I was just always blasting that song and like driving around in my Mazda Miata.
Oh my God.
Also, a Mazda Miata was like a hot car back in the day. So like, that was a dream car for, I think, everybody.
Absolutely. I had a very nice dad, but that car was so unsafe. I was essentially out there in a roller skate. I mean,
yeah. They're teeny, teeny cars with no top.
They weigh like 13 pounds. Like my car, multiple times I braked fast and the car just did a 180. Seriously, like I would be airborne on certain wheels.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
Do you think you're better?
Oh,
yeah, exactly.
Oh, wait, I know what I was going to say. I remember, Tess, when we were at Whitney's bachelorette party, and the girl who kept insisting that we do Ritalin, we were like, we're fine, we don't want to do any Ritalin. She wanted to call you Teresa. She was like, I'm going to call you Teresa. And we were like, don't do this.
Can you just not be the worst?
It was just so weird. I've never seen someone insist that, like, I'm going to call you by your full name. It was like,
I think some people are weird. They want to claim you too quickly. Like, there's people on the internet that don't know me, and they call me Nick or Nikki or whatever, and I'm like, you don't know me. Can we not do this? And it's the same thing, even with going back to a full name. Like, I'm going to call you by your full name. It's like, calm down.
No, you're going to call me by the name you were introduced to me as.
Absolutely, because that's the one I prefer to use.
Yes.
I did in organizing the same bachelorette girl's baby shower. I called her sister like her sister's short name in an email, and then she signed it with her full name on the next.
She was like passive aggressive.
I think that was a no-no.
Yeah,
she's
like,
that's. That's a
she
power
said, not
move.
Today.
It's like, noted.
I am not the one.
Noted. I get
signed.
I see you.
Window, whatever the hell. Yeah. That's a long name. Okay.
I call her Lynn.
Lynn.
Yeah.
Lynn. She said, Lynn. Duh.
All right. Let's ask some questions.
All right. I've got one. Nicole, what do you think would be the coolest animal to scale up to the size of a horse?
To scale up to the size of a horse?
Yeah. Like you could ride
a little ant. Oh my God. What if you could ride a raccoon? I mean, I would never, but I mean, what if you could? They probably would take you on some fun adventures to some weird junkyards or like some dumpster, and you could find some cool shit together.
Not only that, but I don't think I could feel any safer than riding on a raccoon.
Yeah.
No one's going to mess
with them. Nobody fucks with them. And even when they're close by and like rummaging through trash, people maybe will take pictures and think that they're cute or laugh at them or be scared of them, but never try to like fuck with them. So
yeah.
They're a good one.
That's a good
one. I think they're cute.
Oh, they're
have you ever seen there's like a meme of them that's like, eat trash, be free. They say like, life is short, eat trash, be free. And it's just a bunch of raccoons like this, like all surprised looking.
I love raccoons.
So I'm like, yeah, like I think I could get with some raccoons.
Yeah, they seem to really have, I would say their joie de vivre factor is really high.
Yeah, they live it up. Yeah, they live their life. They have one precious life and they live it to the fullest. Yeah, absolutely.
Animal though, that's their only choice.
That's their only choice.
Yeah, I mean, you have some duds, right? Like you have some animals that are clearly not living life to the fullest. Like,
I guess that's true. I guess some of them are just like, I'm going to survive and that's enough. But raccoons are really like, I'm going to get up in your shit.
They're possums, they're just like trying to cross the street. That's their whole life, I feel like.
Yeah.
So they're not living it up. Exactly. Yeah, they need to dream bigger.
Like
dream
raccoons
bigger.
Are robbing a bank every night.
Yeah, they really are doing it. Yeah.
A raccoon never needs a therapist. You know, they're just like, nah, I got it all figured out, man. Ready to go.
Exactly. It's so funny. I was going to say that. I was going to say, do you think animals are ever depressed or like mad at other animals? I think dogs can be sad sometimes and cats. Oh, yeah. Maybe because they're domesticated and they're around people who are always depressed. Oh. But yeah, wild animals are usually pretty chill. They're living their lives.
That's actually
until
really
we step up in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I wonder that. Because have you ever noticed, like, people get less depressed when they go out into nature? Whoa, this is blowing my mind.
You don't have to wear, it's going to be silly, but it's like you don't have to wear clothes. So you don't have to, you can't judge other people off of what they're wearing, what their bodies look like. You all kind of look the same. You're all just chilling. You're all, you know, your whole goal of the day is to get some food and then go lie on a rock for a little bit. So yeah, it's like.
But then there are like peacocks and birds that have all that shit that are like, all right, this is my new outfit. Like, check me out.
Yeah.
Like, I'm here. I have arrived. Here are all of my colors.
Yeah.
Those nature docs are always so funny because it's always like the person trying to be like, oh no, and the bird didn't win the mating dance and the bird doesn't give a fuck. He's like, well, on to the next one. And you're like, this is not a narrative that we're following, guys. These birds don't care. They forget that just happened.
These aren't frat boys. They're just trying.
Yeah.
They're just cocks.
Yeah.
They're just cocks, baby. They don't give a damn.
Okay. Let's see. If you were on Real Housewives, what would your opening credits catchphrase be?
Oh my gosh. My opening catchphrase. My opening catchphrase would be, I don't watch this shit, so I don't give a shit.
That's actually perfect. That's actually pretty perfect.
I think that's good, right? Because it's like, I'm not super invested in it. So I would come on there and just like not give a fuck and probably piss people off. Yeah. Like I would be like, I'm just going to do what I want. We're back. It's, you know, I'd be like an animal, a wild animal on The Real Housewives.
Absolutely. Yeah. I
that's
think
perfect.
The villain role is always the one to go for in those situations. Fuck it. Why not?
And those are the best intros. Those are the best intros when they're just like, I didn't come here to make friends. It's like, okay.
I say it like it is.
I say it like it is.
Fascinated by I don't really watch Real Housewives or anything, but just reality TV in general, just because there are people who are like exposing their personalities, you know, to the world to like make money and be like a villain sometimes. But how do you handle that? Like, how do you handle knowing that a bunch of people are going to hate you for something you did?
I think most of them go insane. I honestly
do they? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, they become such a personality that it's beyond them. They don't have a choice but to continue to live that life. It's like they get trapped.
Yeah.
Or you're like a deep narcissist where any attention at all feels good, whether it's good or bad.
Well, at this point, doing reality TV, you have to be because we've seen like what 20, 30 years of what it looks like. And so we know, going in that they're going to find something about you and exploit it. So you got to be just like, I don't give a damn. I just want to be on TV.
Oh, 1,000%. I watch The Bachelor. That's my number one jam. And like, there's always the moment in The Bachelor where a couple of the men or women forget that they're on The Bachelor and they get all emotional. Yeah. Like, I just hate that you're like dating other people. And it's like, yeah, bitch, you're on The Bachelor.
That's the point of the show. That's the point of the show. Yeah, I couldn't do that. I would not be good on The Bachelor. I would be like, I'm not sharing. Like, I can't do this. If I started to like him, I would be like, okay, we have to either leave or, you know, I'm gonna leave by myself because I can't do it. That would make me insane.
I can't imagine. I can't imagine just watching the person you like
No.
Date 20 other people in front of you.
And the smart girls do this. Because everyone knows it's you don't actually want to marry the guy. You want to become the bachelorette. So you're actually vying for second place. You don't actually want the dude.
Right.
So you just hang out. I mean, like, they get to stay in, like, a cool mansion. Like, all you can eat food, open bar, go on some vacays. Mm-hmm. Pretend like you like the guy. Showcase your personality in a way that's, like, fun but just dramatic enough to be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, like, because to be the bachelorette, I feel like you have to have some kind of gravitas to you, like some kind of grounding, a little bit of smarts. So, mm-hmm. I don't know. I really don't watch this, but I'm just thinking of, was it Rachel? She was the black bachelorette. She's, like, so smart. She seemed pretty down to earth from what I saw of her.
Yes.
And so I was like, yeah, she's cool. But she probably brought a little bit of something, a little funk or a little drama.
Exactly.
And then that's how she gets to be in the spotlight the next season. And that is better, because then you get to choose which guy you want to be with.
Yeah, then you're the star, and you just have a bunch of hot men, like, fighting over you, which
yeah,
you
that'd be
this is
sweet.
A good idea.
Yeah.
I think I'm just gonna start aiming for second place in most things and see what happens.
Yeah, why not?
Because
remember,
great
was it
silver.
Like first is the worst, second is the best.
Yeah,
was there some like rap?
Third is the one with the hairy chest.
Yes, exactly. So there you go. Second is the best, baby.
Third is the one with the hairy chest.
I just think that would get me further even than I am now. So it's like, okay, that's a good goal.
If you dream of being second, you'll always win. Yeah. I'm trying to think of like some deep.
This is good.
We'll remember that in our careers. I don't want to win. I just want to like be employed.
I want to be the understudy. I'll come in.
Yeah, I want to be the understudy.
Yeah.
Does the understudy get paid a weekly rate? We good. That's fine.
Exactly. That's why we're watching. Yeah, Sean watches this football documentary called Hard Knocks, and it's like kind of dramatic. You follow the NFL team before training camp, and then it's really sad. They have the part where like the guys get cut, and I always feel really bad for them. Like it's really hard for me to watch because it's like been their life dream this whole time, and then they get fired. Mm. But when you find out they make the practice squad, you're like, dude, you're fucking set. You're making an NFL player's salary without having to fuck up your head. That's the mm-hmm. job you want.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what you want.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
I'm into it.
Yeah.
Why not?
Aim for practice. Right.
Anything where you get to make the money without having to suffer the consequences, we're good. That's what we want.
That's what we're all going for. Uh-oh, Brandy.
Yeah, it's just like when people are like,
Brandy.
Do you want to... Oh, is she frozen? Oh, yeah, she is. At least it's a good frozen face.
It's
there's some pretty bad ones
classic
out there.
Gag, everybody.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Uh-oh. I'll tell her she's frozen, but... Hold on. We'll just keep going. Yeah.
Okay, next question... What is the dumbest thing you've ever done?
God, the dumbest thing I've ever done.
My back?
Oh, she's back.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, you're back.
Okay, sorry. That
you
was...
had a great freeze face.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, great. Awesome. Perfect. Fucking Zoom.
God, what's the dumbest thing I've ever done was the question.
How do we even qualify? I mean, just too many
know.
Things.
There's so many. And also, I'm a person, like, literally, I'm an anxious person. So, like, everything, I'll come home and overthink every single thing. I was just laughing because today somebody, I'm writing on a show and somebody said, they said, did you have fun writing that? And I was like, what? Like, does that mean it was bad? It's like, I can't stop thinking about it. But he just texted me like, great job today. And I'm like, okay, thank God. Like, I was like, what the fuck?
And also you're like, no, I didn't have fun.
It was an assignment.
Yeah.
Like, I wrote it because I had to. I had fun with it. The dumbest thing I've done. I mean, I've done a lot of dumb things. I would say like there's a million times when I mean, drinking, I've done a lot of dumb things, but can't remember most of them. I would say probably just like, I don't know, making a fool of myself in drunken situations. But that's like more me judging myself. Cause I feel like when you're drinking, like people are always like, oh, you didn't seem that drunk or you weren't that bad. So for the most part, you're okay.
Yeah, that's unless you really act a fool, unless like some systems really misfire, most people are just like, oh, you just kind of seem tired and you were repeating yourself a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Or you were like really animated when you were telling this story. That's when I realized you might be drunk.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe there's like moments like that. I definitely have flashed someone in a bar, like public, and that's so not me, and I had no recollection of it, just like four glasses of wine and I was gone off the sauce. So yeah, that was a dumb thing.
Wow,
so yeah,
flashing.
I would just say something like that. Was that
no, flashing's good. I just hadn't thought of flashing in a while.
I know, right? Flashing was something I literally never did. When you think about it, it's like, wow, that's like kind of
80s.
It's very early on.
Something
90s,
in the movies, yes. Where you see like girls being like, ah, yeah.
Flashing and mooning have really gone by the wayside.
Yeah, they really have. People never moon people anymore. It's because everything is so insane that it doesn't seem that weird anymore to see a butt randomly.
But like, how hard would you laugh if someone just like mooned you on the 101? That would make my day.
I would laugh pretty hard. Yeah. Sometimes I kind of enjoy, like, sometimes the road ragey stuff like that, if they were mad and they were like, I would laugh at
that. Oh my God. If that replaced, like, honking,
like flipping people off instead, you just moon somebody, I'd be like, okay, you cool. You cool.
If you guys can start doing that, that would be amazing to get that.
Yeah, just start showing people your butts. Don't say we told you specifically to do that, but yeah, do it.
Yeah, it didn't come from us, but it's just a new trend that we'd like to get
started. And I do think that, like, anger to laughter is the quickest emotional change that we're capable of too, so it's like a really great way to diffuse the situation. Just a big old butt.
I'm having a heart every time me and my boyfriend get in a fight, because I just laugh. I can't help it.
My sister used to do that. It made me crazy. Oh my God. Oh. She would do the same thing. Because I think it's like a nervous reaction too.
Yeah,
I'm mad that I'm laughing.
Right. No. I'm not like doing it because I think the situation is funny. It's just, I can't. No. Like, it's a weird reaction.
And it's a vicious cycle, because the more nervous you are that you're laughing, the harder it is to stifle the laughter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not. And I'm like, I promise this is serious. And then I'm just like,
I'm taking this seriously.
Okay, let's do one.
I know that wasn't a very good answer, but I don't have one for what's the dumb. I mean, I've done so many dumb things in my life, I couldn't even think about a specific incident.
Well, I think that's a life well lived, frankly.
Okay, good.
Yeah, you're living a raccoon style life, so that's what a raccoon would say. It's
that's
okay.
Right. That's my goal in life, is to be a raccoon.
Oh, this is okay.
Digging in trash.
Hell yeah.
Among your friends, what are you best known for?
Who? Talking shit.
Oh, nice.
Hell yeah.
I think talking shit. I mean, listen. No, it's a good thing. It's good things and bad things, because I think I'm really good at, like, a fun like outlet sometimes is just to be like, stupid business, and like just texting and really just being kind of like shitty with somebody. And sometimes, like, I have certain friends where you can do that with, and it's really enjoyable, and I enjoy it. But also, like, if we're being more serious, I'm good at I like really really love therapy, and I've been in therapy for like, I don't know, 5 years or something, like, very regularly, and I just like love it so much, and I feel like I've gotten so much out of it that it's kind of a big thing. Like, I'm a little bit of a counselor with my friends, I feel like. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I end up giving a lot of advice and like being like, oh, you know what, that's actually, you should think about that, because it's coming from this kind of place, it's not coming from this, and you should remember that when you're talking to this person, they're not doing it because of you, they're doing it because of them, and so, you know, either you can choose to be friends with them or not. So it's a lot of advice, a lot of therapy for other people.
That's good. I mean, awesome. Is that hard for you? Like, do you always want it, or are you like, all right, I'm done for now?
I feel like I have a little bit of, like, I have to cut myself off of doing that sometimes, especially because sometimes if the relationship doesn't feel super reciprocal, like if I have a friend that's not there for me, but I'm always there for them, that's, again, as therapy would tell me, on me to like stop doing that, because otherwise then I start to feel resentful or something. Mm-hmm. And so, I've had some moments where I'm like, you know what, I can't really be there as often as I am and like give so much. So yeah, sometimes I just have to hold back from giving all the advice. And sometimes people probably don't even want it. Sometimes people probably just want to like be upset and not have somebody tell them, you know, how to deal with it.
Yeah. I've had to learn that sometimes people just want a vent and they don't need a solution, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a good move to be like, I've started asking sometimes, like, do you want feedback or you just want to talk right now?
Well, yeah.
That's really good.
Well, because also a lot of times you have exhausted those solutions. So it's like, by the time you're bitching to your friends, like, you've already kind of, I tried that. And I reset the router. I unplugged it. Yeah, I did that.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. What now? And I do have, like, I've had friends where it's like, after a certain point, they have the same, if they have a repeating problem, it's like, you just want to complain now, because I know that you know what the solution would be, and you're not trying to do that. So that's okay. But I just will listen. But that's when the talking shit comes in handy.
Absolutely.
We went back around. We got back around to that. But that's when the talking shit comes in handy. Because I'm like, I will talk shit with you.
What's hard in quarantine, is there's not quite as much gossip to go around or anything.
Oh my God.
So.
Yeah. It's really weird.
Comedy, I feel like we've got a really like hot gossip market. I love comedy gossip. It's like my favorite thing. It's just a breeding ground for it, and I really miss like just good comedy tea.
just give me the dirt, give me the tea.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny because it's like I've felt like for my comedy, like a lot of what I tweet and what I feel like does well and what I enjoy talking about is weird encounters with people, like strange interactions anywhere I go. And it's like, when you're not having any of those interactions, what the hell are we supposed to talk about anymore? Like, oh, I watched 20 hours of Netflix today. Like, it's just, it's weird because there is no gossip. There's no drama. Like,
no.
I don't know if we should be thriving off of that, but we do.
We need it a little bit. I think it's healthy to a certain degree. I mean, it can become unhealthy, but I think a little, just a smidge, just a little
definitely.
Snack.
Just a little
absolutely.
Taste.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just a taste. Just
all right.
A touch.
First one's we've free,
got
baby.
We've got some shit to talk. We'll be back in a second while we tell secrets. Hi, everybody. We're back on Lady to Lady. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
And we're here with Nicole Thurman. And I'm glad that you're great at good at giving advice, because we are going to answer something right now.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. I hope I'll be good. I hope I didn't just set myself up to look bad. You know, I'm so good at giving advice. And then they ask one question and I'm like, I have no idea.
Sometimes it's really hard and you're just in a corner. And you're like, I have no fucking clue like what to say here.
Lady problems. Do you have them? Lady problems. Do you have them? People have them.
Hi, my favorite ladies. Finally, I have a question not dealing with a guy. I'm an interior designer in Boise. I was recently furloughed from my job because COVID has hit our two markets hard and there are no projects coming in. Even before this, I was pretty miserable at work. My project manager and I do not mesh well. Her management style doesn't work for me. Micromanager and questions most decisions. Plus, I hate working on healthcare design. Because Boise is a smaller big city, not sure it's a big city at all, it is extremely hard to find an interior design job. I'm starting to think I need to look at other states, but that's when the panic sets in. I've never lived in another place except for college. I own my own home. I have my parents here. I really like my therapist. My dog has a great daycare and trainer in Boise. Plus, my friends are here. But I fear there's no work. I've started looking at two cities, Denver, Colorado, and Salt Lake, Utah. Both have job opportunities. Both remind me a bit of Boise, plus a new man pool. I just don't know if I can find a partner in Boise, but I'm terrified to start over. Do you three have any advice for either taking the plunge and how to deal with this overwhelming anxiety of making this decision? Babs, any thoughts on SLC? I'm very liberal and not at all religious. And in the past, in Logan, Utah, I felt very pressured by the LDS community and it made me resentful. But I do know people in Salt Lake. What made you all okay with moving to LA? I don't even know what I'm looking for here, but I'm freaking out and super scared of the prospect of starting over, but not sure if I have another option.
That's stressful.
That's really hard.
I mean, it is, but I feel like I just want to say, like, you got this. Like, you're awesome. Mm-hmm. You've already started a business. You've already bought your own home. You have a dog. Like, you've already done these, like, you've taken these amazing steps and, like, established yourself as, like, a successful adult. And, like, just remind yourself that you've done other, like, scary things in the past. And, like, you have this. You're good. I mean, like, you know, I mean, both of those cities, I think, are in places where it'll be very easy for you to visit your parents when you want to see them, you know? So just remember that, like, that's just because you're moving away doesn't mean that you're never going to see your family again or anything like that. And I think as far as the therapist goes, maybe you can keep that therapist and just do Zoom sessions.
Absolutely.
Totally. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I see my therapist over, I mean, we all do now. And I think, you know, that's super convenient these days. And if you're feeling the instinct, go for it. Like Tess said, Boise's not that far from either of those places. Like, I think you have to just jump in and trust that, you're going to kick ass because you were good at kicking ass already.
I will say something. When I moved out to LA, so during college, I had a 6-month internship period that I moved out to LA for 6 months, and then I had to go back to school to finish. So it kind of made it easier for me to be like, I know whatever happens in the next 6 months, I'm going home because I have to go get my degree. So it really took the pressure of moving cross country off. Maybe it's like you move to one of these places, rent an apartment, and you don't make a solid decision on if you want to like stay permanently or not for like a period of time or something like that. Like you put your all in, but you're like, I'm giving myself permission after X amount of time to pull the plug and go home if I want or something.
Yeah, you don't have to sell your home. You could rent it out, you know, while you figure it out, maybe.
And don't use that as like a not to try your hardest in that city, but like adds like a moment to empower you to be like, you know what? I can just do whatever I want. I like work on your job and stuff, but like I got 6 months to figure out if I like this place and then I'll pull it, make a decision after that or something like that. Yeah.
I definitely think like the only way to do something is to go through it. Like there's no, when you're looking at something from the outside, it always looks so much scarier than it actually is. Like I've become a person that if I want to say no to someone, instead of thinking of all the excuses or the reasons why I could say no or anything, I'll just be like, I don't want to. Like, and I know that it seems like extreme because people don't typically do that, but instead of creating this like long roundabout, you know, the person keeps asking me if I want to do it, asking me if I want to do it. Instead, I just say no. And it cuts through it, just like goes right through it. Mm-hmm. And I think there's just something with moving, especially where people get so caught up in the what ifs that they don't do it. But it's like, truly, if you just go through the experience, it's not going to be as bad as you expect it to be. And it's about living in that moment, like moment to moment, as opposed to thinking about what the future holds. Like, oh, what if I move to Salt Lake City and I can't buy a house, or I don't meet a man, or my dog is unhappy, or I don't find another therapist because I didn't do the Zoom set. It's like, once you start thinking of that, then you're just going to get paralyzed and then you're going to stay in the same situation you're in. If you just kind of take it moment to moment and don't worry about the bigger picture, because the bigger picture comes together on its own. Yeah. Because the only way to do it is to just go through it, like just experience it.
Yeah, I think that's spot on, like 1,000%. Yeah, it's almost, it's just like you're already kind of like, you already are considering this idea and you're like at the very top of the high dive. Now just walk out and jump.
Yeah, when I moved to LA, I had lived in Chicago for 8 years, and I had moved like for a year to New York in there and then come back to Chicago. And I was really comfortable in Chicago. Like, I had an apartment. I knew everybody and I knew like the scene. I was working at Second City, but it was like I started to feel stuck in my job. And I was just like, I'm doing the same kinds of shows over and over again with the same people. I'm not really getting to where I want to be, but I've, at the same time, I've accomplished all I want to do here. I just want to get out. But it was hard for me because LA seems like Mars when you're in Chicago. It seems so far. For sure. It seems so different. It's confusing. You don't know anything about it. But it was literally just one day I got like the slightest bit of an opportunity to come here and do like a showcase. And then I just was like, I'm moving. I'm doing it. And you take the leap and you just go. And once you go, you figure it out. And it is like what you're saying. Like she owns a house. She has a dog. She has like, she's been going to therapy. She doesn't realize how, like she could do that anywhere because she obviously has that strength and independence to be able to do it in Boise.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, also I will say, I mean, as someone who I'm the sibling that lives closest to my mom, but I feel like my brother sees my mom more because he lives a few hours away. Like, I feel like, you know, it's really easy, like, when you live close to your parents, I think, to get used to always having them there. But it's like, that's your parents. Like, you're going to find a way to see them. And then, like, when you do see them, it's going to be even more awesome because.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's quality time, not quantity, quality. Exactly. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, and I think even especially now during the pandemic and stuff, it's like, this is honestly, if you want to move, now's a good time, because even your friends that you live in the same city with, it's long distance friendships. You know, we're not seeing each other in person. You can be in a habit of talking to those people more often. Also, if you're moving somewhere, Airbnbs, like people like are having a hard time. You can just rent a place off of that. If you can't find an apartment you like for a couple of months at a time or something like that, stay in a different part of the city at different points to figure out where you like, well, you know, what you like with that. So there's like
I think that's a good idea for sure. Cause I would either go visit each place first to kind of like see or switch around a little bit and kind of like explore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It really is. I feel like you don't lock yourself in. If you don't know what you want to do, don't lock yourself into it. And also now is the perfect time to not be fully committed to any, to just kind of explore your options. I mean, I feel like people are changing careers. Yeah. People are moving back home if they want to. People are moving out of the cities that they've lived in for years because it's such a beautiful time. And in a way, it really is.
Yeah.
To just stop. like to mm-hmm. pause when we never get that in our adult lives. And so yeah. this is like the ideal moment to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that I've tried to find that kind of other side of the anxiety coin is like, as much as just like, what the fuck is happening? Where are we going to be in 2 months, 1 month? Da-da-da. But then I told my husband, I was like, oh, this is actually in a way feels kind of liberating. Cause it's like, if mm-hmm. we just want to put our shit in storage and go to Costa Rica for a few months, like this is everybody's yeah. gap year. Like everybody yeah, can, absolutely. Like there's something kind of liberating about having everything, I guess, burned to the ground.
Absolutely.
Yeah. yeah.
I mean,
yeah, exactly.
I think too, and not to like hold this as a whatever, Boise's always going to be there. You know, your yeah, friends are truly. There. Your family is there. Mm-hmm. You have the option to go back there if you want. It's not super far from either of these places. So if I would trust your instinct. Your instinct mm-hmm. sounds like that you want to get out and try something new. And also, you're going to know, it, like, yeah, when you're there for a while, if it's the right move or not for you. You know, my roommate just moved back home, and I don't think LA was ever the right thing for him, and I think he didn't listen to his gut, you know what yeah. I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's too bad, because he lost a few years, but he's not losing anything. It's like, I think it's just a chance to, at this point, like you guys are saying, it's a gap year. It's like, okay, there's yeah. no rules right now.
Yeah.
Just if you have the opportunity, you should take it. And as far as Salt Lake goes, I obviously don't live there now. I haven't lived there for a decade. Dating there is not good. I don't want that to hold you back from moving somewhere. But it
she
is,
wants
you know,
to meet a man. She does want to meet a man.
I'm just saying it's not great. It's a lot of, you know, divorced Mormon guys, which isn't like the worst thing in the world. But there, that's a whole comes with its own thing as far as guilt and, you know, yeah. religious stuff and stuff like that. Salt Lake is very liberal itself, and Salt Lake's a very good, like, artistic city and stuff. But if it was me, I would try Denver probably.
Denver's supposed to be great. Yeah. Denver is, when they move there.
Denver's rules. Awesome.
Yeah, I'm team yeah. Denver for her. I think Denver mm-hmm. is where you go if you're, like, young and want to start a fresh fun life.
Legal weed.
Yes.
Hot guys that climb on rocks.
Yeah. So exactly. many hot guys.
Like, and they actually, I feel yeah. like they do have a lot of like cool design opportunities too, because they are still building that city out so much and it's becoming such a like hot spot. I'm sure there's a lot of places to design, to interior design there.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking too, is I think like Salt Lake, as far as design goes, all I can think of is Mormon ladies just putting up like live, laugh, love things in their house.
Right.
Like,
right.
And you know, they
triple LL energy there.
Yeah,
for sure.
Exactly. So you probably don't, you know, they're not hiring anybody for that. But
yeah.
yeah. I mean, yeah, I think Denver is one of my favorite cities. I love Denver.
It's a great city. And I do really think that, like, if you're young, you're single, your gut is screaming, you want a new opportunity, you're thinking about it, why not do it? Because now's the only time you can do it. And then if it doesn't work, if it's not the right fit, you just go back to Boise. It's not, nobody's going to judge you. Nobody's going to think anything of it. They're going to think you were a badass for moving for a little bit. Like, it won't make a difference. And it's all, like, truly, like what you said, Boise's always going to be there. It's not going to change. The parents will be there. People that you know will be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Denver's like the perfect level up from Boise. It's not like too crazy. Yeah. It's not, you know, you said you liked it and it kind of reminds you of it. So,
and it's very liberal.
It's smart.
It's very liberal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I also feel like moving away really makes you appreciate where you're from in different ways that you don't see when you're there too.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, oh man, these are the things I actually like about being home. And this is the stuff that like I hated while I was here and I was annoyed by it. But like now it's kind of fun to see for like a couple weeks out of the year.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I mean, shit, if you're living in, if you want to stay in Boise, open your own interior design firm.
Yeah.
you know, like,
it's time to take some hustle. Kind of a leap. It's either that one or moving.
Totally.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
I will say, just from a selfish perspective, the last time we went to Boise, the world ended right afterwards. So you'll probably see us in Denver before Boise again, if that's helpful at all.
That is true. You guys did a sushi eating competition in Boise and then COVID happened.
That
so
might have been what
happened. That's how it goes.
Yeah.
They're like, you shouldn't be eating sushi here, y'all. It's landlocked. What are you doing?
Brandy and I we had an eating competition at an all-you-can-eat sushi place in Boise, of all places to have an eating competition.
I have a really funny video that accidentally is slow motion of them both trying to like stuff the last ones into their mouth and like hating their lives so much. It was delicious sushi, but it was just really a lot of it.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't impact my love of sushi one iota.
No, sushi actually sounds really good, right?
Yeah,
I mean, it does. It's just kind of good everywhere.
It is.
It's shitty.
Yeah. Like,
I lived in Kansas my whole life. Yeah. And I ate sushi all the time and it was delicious.
And I'm a basic bitch sushi person, so I'm fine. I don't fucking need sugar fish. I can eat whatever.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Come on, Sprouts pre-made. I'll take it.
Yes.
Well, that's good. I'm glad we all like definitely said Denver, and I hope that that works out.
Yeah, girl, but
I think it's because it's also like people that when you've moved from a different state, like you realize like it is not as hard or as, you know, it's not that big of a deal once you make it. It's not. Because I feel like people, once they just make the leap, it's just making the leap that's the hardest part.
Exactly.
We're adaptable. Like when you're, as soon as you're in that environment, you're just going to go for it.
Yeah. And when you move to a city like, I know Denver is like this, but when you move to a city like Denver, a lot of people are transients and they're coming from other cities. So you're going to meet a lot of people who get it and who want to embrace you and, you know, create a community. So it's a good way to meet people. It's easier to meet people than you think. And it's easier to like get into the community, I think, than you would think it would.
And
be.
I also feel like, dude, go now before you start dating some other dude in Salt Lake, in Boise, that's making you like rethink all of this. Go now.
Yeah.
Go. I'm excited for it. It sounds really exciting.
It's exciting.
It's a cool opportunity. Let us know how it goes, obviously. And yeah, we'll hopefully see you there for a show or something.
Yeah.
At some point.
Nicole, thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, yeah. You're awesome. Thank you for having me. It's just so fun.
Let everybody, like I said, I kind of like found Nicole on Twitter. She's super funny. So please follow her on there. Yeah. Let everyone know what your socials are so they can find you.
Yeah, please follow me on Twitter. I'm at NICCOLETHURMAN. And then on Instagram, I'm at NICCOLE_DOT_T. So
easy to remember.
Real easy to remember. Real simple. Just plug it in. No, just plug in my name and you'll find me. But yeah, follow me. Come hang out. We have fun.
Yeah, she's hilarious. Go follow her right now. Yeah. And thank you guys. And we'll be over at the Top Secret Session for Patreon if you want to come hang out with us over there. So bye, everybody.
Bye.
Can't get enough of us? Subscribe to our Patreon for exclusive bonus content, access to our first 100 episodes, and more. Go to patreon.com/ladytolady now to sign up. As little as $1 a month keeps a roof over the glam cave and keeps you laughing, even when your coworkers stare. That's patreon.com/ladytolady.
And don't forget to follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Lady to Lady Comedy. Join our Facebook group, Lady to Lady Podcasts, to chat with other fans about episodes or even post your own lady problems. Check out our website, ladytoladycomedy.com, for show notes, videos, and merch.
And duh, follow our individual accounts, Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker, for jokes and info and where you can see us perform live. And if you want to send us snacks, stickers, or a lock of your own hair, I don't know, whatever, our P.O. Box is 412-794 Los Angeles, California, 90041. And please, leave us a review in iTunes, but only if you like us.
We love you.
We love you.
Bye.
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 Bye.